Please go ahead.
Good morning, good afternoon. On today's constituency operations call on Friday, the 30th of April, we have Michael Young acting as chair, Claudia De Ganji. From staff, we have Glenda Saint-Géry, Julie Headland, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. Deborah Hughes has just joined as well, and we have apologies from Chuck Gomes, Rafik Damak, and our chair, Olga Cavalli. If I could just please remind everyone to state their names when speaking. Thank you. Over to you, Michael.
Thank you very much. So I do apologize. I tried to send out an agenda, and it doesn't seem to have left my my computer. I'm working from a hotspot, so I seem to be having a little bit of trouble with that. Regardless, I will read off the agenda if that's all right with everyone, and we'll see if anyone wants to suggest changes to it. What I had sent out to the group included the following. I can't open it up, but I will try and draw it from memory. I suggest that we start by going through. Julie, you had a task item from last week to do further edits on our consolidated document for task one, and that included doing some work on intros and sloshing around some basically aesthetics and comprehensive edits versus any kind of content editing. So I thought we'd start with that document and look at the, have you walk us through the changes with that as item one on the agenda. Two, I was going to suggest that we get an update from the task two sub-team. And then following that walk into, I believe we were looking for comments this week on Debbie's document, but I think we only had formal comments submitted by Chuck, but I didn't notice if anyone else submitted them as well.
Julie, Rafik also sent changes.
Oh, perfect. Okay, thanks, Rafik. So if we could go through those comments and edits. And as item four, I'd like to attempt, I know we may not have all the information we need to do this, but I'd like to attempt for us to review what's in Debbie's document, consider the updates from the sub-team, and see if we can't assign some time-based milestone objectives for getting task two completed. And then, of course, the fifth item was new items or new business. Does anyone want to add anything to the agenda? Hearing none, I'll assume that that's adequate for everyone. Julie, could we start with having you walk us through the changes that you made and the edits you made on the task one document in the last week?
Sure, Michael. This is Julie. I'll be happy to do that. And I did send the document around to everybody last Friday. The changes were the requested changes appeared in a couple of different places. We added in the recommendation section the beginning of section two. Recommendations, sort of a guide for how the recommendations are arranged. We say that the recommendations are arranged in three sections, and section 2.1 being recommendations for the set of participation rules and operating procedures, 2.2 for clear operating principles for each group to ensure that all groups function in a representative, open, transparent, and democratic manner. And section 2.3, recommendations for creating and maintaining a database of all group members. And so that was to help people to understand how the recommendations are grouped in sections. Are there any thoughts concerning that before I move on? Hearing none, I'll move on. At the beginning of each section, I put in a sentence, just one sentence to say what, again, to sort of reiterate so that it's very clear what each of the recommendations, the following recommendations pertain to. So under 2.1, participation rules and operating procedures, I have a sentence that says the following sections address the BGC work group's recommendation that groups shall establish and abide by a set of participation rules and operating procedures. And then I did the same for each of the sections. So similarly, at the beginning of the next section, 2.2, operating principles. I note the sentence notes that this pertains to the BGC recommendations for clear operating principles, etc., and thus the same at the beginning of the third section of recommendations on group membership database, and that those recommendations pertain to the creation of database, etc. So that was the not substantive but clarifying text that was added to each section. Are there any questions or suggestions concerning that additional text, any changes that anyone would like?
Julie, this is Claudia.
Yes.
I thought this was actually all good. My comment or question, and it's, I think it's just a minor point, but I was looking, when the language that we have there for section 2.2 says that the recommendations for clear operating principles, and I, maybe it's the term is not 100% clear to me, but I guess I'm not understanding fully what the distinction is between operating procedures and participation rules as they're sort of spelled out in section 2.1 in comparison to section 2.2, which references operating principles. Because when I get to section 2.2, it seems to me that these are sort of operating procedures, just like section 2.1 are. They might be they're on different topics or subject areas, but I was just wondering, I was just sort of throwing it out there for the work team, like whether this section be actually just should it just be our recommendations on principles, or is this really, any different than operating procedures? Because we are using different terms there, and I just wasn't clear on how we were sort of making that distinction between two points.
Right. This is Julie. If I could, Michael, just make one point there, and then, of course, you can open it up for discussion from others. But just to remind the work team that these are terms that were pulled directly from the BGC work groups report, not ones that we created ourselves. And I'm looking through the port right now to pull the exact language, but the BGC had separate recommendations, and that's why we separated them out, into our various subtasks, one being on, on principles and one being on operating procedures. And that was why we separated the work, because that's the way the recommendations read, and that's just a point of clarification on my part, but I'll open that up to you, Michael.
Julie, I think you did a very good job of actually pointing out exactly what I was going to point out myself. Claudio, what do you think of that?
That makes sense. I recalled that from the report itself, it said that, there should be, recommendations developed for operating principles. And I guess maybe if I went back and look at how we split it up on when we initially formed the two subtasks, that might shed some more light for me. Julie's comment was definitely helpful. I guess I'm still trying to, fully grasp the difference between these two sections, and I'm okay with it. Maybe we just need to modify the language a little bit, under
section. Can I suggest this? I think it's confusing, and I think unless you have the whole kind of history, and so let's say someone's looking at this document more in isolation, which is more likely to happen. Let's face it, not everyone goes back and reads all the precursor documents to these things. Perhaps what we should do is include, Julie, in this document a little preamble explaining exactly what you just articulated as part of the introduction, why the sections are split up this way, how it refers back to the BGC strategy report?
This is Julie, Michael. I can certainly do that. It is there, actually, but it's perhaps it needs to be clarified, because in the beginning of our in the beginning of that document, under the and I'll just go back to that section, and perhaps you can assist me in where we should put some clarifying language. In the executive summary, we talked about the BGC report on improvements, preparing this recommendation document, formed the steering team, created a work plan and broke it down into tasks. Task one, the subject of these recommendations, was split into the following four subtasks. Maybe at that point we can say four subtasks as were delineated in the, as correspond to the four specific recommendations from the BGC, work group report, because that is exactly what they are. You know, subtask one, the wording of it, develop recommendations for a set of participation rules and operating procedures, is, of course, the language from the BGC report. And then the following says, develop recommendations for clear operating principles for each constituency, is, again, from the BGC report. So perhaps I can add some language there that makes clear the correspondence of these recommendations. And perhaps I can add a footnote, of course, as well, to, for each of these, because each of these have, of course, corresponding tasks within the BGC report where they're spelled out in this way. So I could footnote each of these so it's clear where they're taken from.
I think you've done a great job of answering your own question, Julie.
Well, I'm putting it out there in case you would care to help me say it differently, but that's what I was thinking.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I think, it's unfortunate. Two things happen that we have to really be aware of in any kind of working group. We become quite familiar with the materials over time, and we become quite familiar with the issues, but we have to keep looking at these documents and ask ourselves, if I was to read this cold and not necessarily be up to speed, could I take something completely in a different way than the working group did, because I am lacking that background and that context? So I think these kind of things help a lot. I think your suggestion is good. Does anyone have any other comments on that? While we're on the subject of, I guess, language in this document, Julie, maybe you want to finish the review, but one of the things I did want to make sure that we cover is, can we at some point circle back, and there was a bit of a discussion on the list, again, about the terminology should and shall and so forth, and I want to see if we can wrap that up and get a full agreement so that we can wind that particular discussion up with us and follow through with an action.
Right. Michael, this is Julie. I didn't have anything more to add on the textual changes, and thank you for your guidance, and I'll make some additional changes as we've discussed here. So I agree that I know for myself I'll need some direction on how to proceed with respect to the terminology, particularly should versus shall. I did note that we've received responses from several work team members with respect to the usage of should versus shall, and Chuck not being here, I'll also note that he had suggested that while, should, might be acceptable, then there would need to be a definition of if we're using that word differently than should, meaning optional. And I'd certainly, if that's what the team ends up deciding, then I'll need some assistance on what that definition might be.
Sorry, I was speaking on a muted phone. Let me ask everyone, are we okay with standardizing on the word should? I'm trying to just collate all these emails in my head, and going to the last couple, Chuck came back and was trying to clarify with Claudio that should would be optional and shall be required. And then I think Claudio, you came back and indicated that should just has an intrinsic meaning of mandatory more than an optional type of inference. And Chuck was okay with that as long as we put a definition into the document of how we're using should. So can we standardize? Is everyone okay with us standardizing on should, meaning we intend for it to be complied to or mandatory, and we'll put a definition of that in the document. And what was the word that we ended up using for the optional? There was another term that we were banding about last week for optional. Does anyone recall?
Yeah, Michael, actually, and I was just doing a quick search in the report. In several cases, we use the word may to indicate optional.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, we may want to have, you know, if we have should and may, you know, might be taken by some people to be interchangeable. So we might want to clarify that we're using should to mean something that's obligatory and may, if that's what we want, and may to be something that is optional. Because we're pretty careful, I think, when we put in may to definitely mean, you know, in our discussion, optional.
Right. I don't think may, there's any confusion around may. So we'll, if everyone's okay, we'll continue to leave may as our optional term. And let's say someone objects, I think we could wind this up by just agreeing that we'll use should, but we'll put a definition in the document explaining our use of should, and so that it's consistent. Is everyone all right with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yep, I think it's a good idea, Michael.
Sounds good.
Great, so that wraps that up. Fantastic. Julie, can you address the document accordingly?
Yeah, I just had a question. What exactly do we want to say should means? I know that just seems rather obtuse of me, but Claudia, I know this has been, you know, particularly important point for you, and I know that in one of your earlier messages you had some language that you suggested in including as well, and I can refer back to that, but do you have any thoughts on how we want to say this? I mean, do we want to just be very, you know, brief and say, you know, throughout this document, the term should indicates an obligation on the part of, you know, the group unless otherwise specified, or do we want something more than that? I just want to make sure I get it clear.
You could jump in there, Tony, if you wanted to make a comment.
Yeah. I just want to make sure you hear me, because I usually get muted on these calls due to the echo or something. But, why would we say obligatory? I think should has more of a sense of a preferred practice.
Well, I've actually, as we've been speaking, I just pulled up a series of suggested definitions for the word should, and about half of them tie it to recommended, like you suggested. But the other half have definitions. Well, let me give you an example. Use the word should where conformance is expected. So I think it's kind of half and half. I mean, kind of indifferent. If we want to use a different another word, that's fine, but I think we should just pick one and move on. Right?
Okay.
So if we use the word should, I think we're all agreed we're using that as a mandatory, and our definition should say mandatory. Claudio, do you want to take a shot at writing a definition for the use of should that indicates it's a mandatory term?
Yeah, I could do that. I mean, I think how Julie kind of just described it, I thought was pretty good. So, I'm okay with going with Julie's straw man definition.
Although, this is Julie, I think I heard Tony object to the term obligatory, so I could substitute that mandatory, that should indicates an action is mandatory unless otherwise specified?
Yeah, that would be all right, unless otherwise specified would probably be okay with me.
Right, Tony, yeah, because I think we've been pretty careful about making it clear, you know, specifying otherwise in cases where it is, you know, optional, in which case we've made that pretty clear.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so we settled on that?
Yep.
Any other?
I have what I need, and I'll put that right up front, actually. It'll be right prior to the recommendations section, I think. And, of course, I'll send that out and redline it so that everybody can see it.
Okay. Julie, is there anything else in the document you want to review?
No, I don't think so. And it goes without saying, but I'll just mention it for the transcript. I will, of course, change all the shalls to shoulds. So they'll all be shoulds.
So I'm going to suggest to everyone then that that once you've made these changes, Julie, we, as an action item for next week's agenda, we table putting the document up for maybe final group approval.
Oh, Michael, I'm sorry. I actually I had some further comments on. I was going to submit them. I didn't get a chance to actually submit them to the list, but if we have time now, there's just a few of them that maybe we could run through and.
Sure. Let's knock them down if we can. Go ahead.
In the section 2.11B, we list the languages there, but we don't have English. So I wasn't sure if we wanted to specify that or not, but I thought it might make sense to list it.
I think that makes a lot of sense. It's interesting that we are so careful about being considerate of multiple language bases. We've got English. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, this is Julie. I think, and that's great. Thanks for pointing that out. I think we were, the assumption was English and other languages, but I don't think we should make that assumption. I think we should make it clear. You're absolutely right.
Okay. My other one was, I think this was just a spelling. It was in 2.12F, yeah, publicly is, I think publicly is spelled wrong there.
Yeah, that's right, it is spelled wrong.
2.12F. Oh, okay, I see that sound.
Status of a new application.
Yeah.
On the second line it says publicly.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah.
The other comment was under term limits. The term limit dealing with the counselor, because that's already in the ICANN bylaws, and there's already language, you know, I guess sort of covering that, exactly how the term limit works. I would just suggest that we really don't even need to include it in our recommendation. I'm not.
Could you? What is the exact point number on the so we can find it?
All right, it's 2.21 term limits.
2.21. Okay.
2.2.1. I'm sorry. It's a term limit for the GNSO counselor position. And you know, so since that's already in place.
So it would be what, A, letter A on there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. It is in the bylaws.
It does seem redundant, so I'm okay with striking it if everyone else is.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Okay.
This is Julie. I've stricken it.
Okay.
It'll be noted in red line in case anybody has any questions.
So effectively, B would become A, and C would become B, and et cetera.
I think that was it. The only other one I had was on the appendix, which I don't. We really haven't even I don't think we've sort of gotten to yet. But I was going to suggest that we actually just remove the entire appendix A, for a couple reasons. One, I think this the document is already very long and there's a lot of information in it. And since we're really just, you know, we're basing our recommendations on the board's recommendations, I feel like it's just we don't need to provide all this extra supporting analysis. And then it also, you know, I was looking over it, and it's not really normal. It's not tied into the recommendations anymore. Like if you when you get into this analysis, it's actually inconsistent with a lot of what the recommendations above are saying. So I think that analysis was drafted before we did a lot of the editing, and so now after we've changed a lot of things around, it's not lined up anymore with the recommendations. I'm sure maybe in some cases it still is, but. I don't know, rather than you know, actually go through the entire appendix and make edits to it to sort of bring it more consistent with what we're saying above, my suggestion is just to not include it at all.
Claudia, this is Julie. I'll just mention for the record that in the meeting before the last meeting, Rafiq specifically asked that detail be included in the appendix. Of course, if the group here requests me to delete it, I'll be happy to. I just thought I'd mention that.
Yep.
I support Claudio's suggestion. We should remove it. And I assume Appendix B is being removed also, right?
Appendix B is the minority reports, and we are obligated to keep those.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. If it's a minority report, that's fine, just so long as it's not in the main body of the report.
Actually, this is not a minority report. It's just additional detail that Rafiq had asked to be retained. Minority reports we actually do not have yet. I know that Victoria is preparing one, and of course, when we have them, they'll be included, and which will now become Appendix A, since this Appendix A will go away, and there won't be an Appendix B.
Okay.
Well, let me ask this, guys. Are we going to have a showstopper with Rafiq? Are we going to cause a lot of turmoil and re-debate if we remove Appendix A?
Michael, I was thinking, you know, if some of the work team members are really, you know, I'm not sure if Rafiq has recently reviewed it or if he's basing it on his, you know, his understanding of when he last looked at it. But I was thinking if some of the work team members wanted, if they support this, then they could sort of just sign on to it and submit it either as part of a minority report or just, you know, some sort of separate submission that they support this. But I don't think it should be part of the full document just because it just doesn't seem to line up with what we're saying above.
Yeah, I agree entirely because if as Claudio is saying, you have some discrepancies with the previous part of the report, the report becomes ambiguous.
Okay, so I understand that line of argument. We're saying if we were to keep this, it would have to be re-edited to line up with the changes we've made in the main report. And therefore, since it's really somewhat superfluous in the first place, the argument is to remove it altogether.
Yep.
That sounds great. That well?
I mean, it'll be pretty obvious that it's been removed, and we're asking all work team members to review the document with these changes. I'm leaving these in as track changes, so everybody will have a chance to respond if they want to call.
If we remove it, can we specifically, what I'm trying to do is bring everybody to help move everybody towards a consensus position as quickly as possible. I'd really like to see our reasoning for removing it, which seems rational and responsible to maybe the top of the email then, Julie, if, you know, when you put out the revised document so people understand why we took that appendix off. You know, I hate to see anyone, you know, react versus understand the reasoning why we removed something.
Right.
Well,
yeah, this is Julie. I had planned in any case to make it clear which substantive changes I'm making in the document at the top of the email that I normally send, so it will be clear, because I imagine that Victoria also would probably have some concerns.
Well, but I think the main point here is we haven't gone through the Appendix A as a whole group and agreed upon it. So if you just leave it there, after the rest of the document, which we have been through, you know, word by word, it doesn't seem to me like we're doing the right thing.
Well, I agree with your thinking, Tony, completely. You're right. We either have to go through the Appendix A and modify it to stay in line and be true to the main document, or we try.
If not, it becomes a minority report. If there are discrepancies, then it's a different opinion, and it deserves to be a minority report, I think.
Agreed. So we, you know, like it comes down to, we have two choices. We either go through the Appendix A, we try and line it up so it's not a differing opinion, but it's a consensus that with the main report, which is a lot of work and a lot of effort, and I don't know that it does anything other than, frankly, reiterate what the main report says, which is, I think, the point you were making earlier. So I think it's a fruitless task, really. If it needs to stand as is, if someone feels it needs to stand as is with a differing opinion, then, like you said, it can be submitted as a minority report, and then we're done.
Yep, I agree with that.
Yep.
Okay. So, Julie, I think our action items then are to scratch it and give that explanation that I just ran through in the captioning email.
Right, Michael. I'll be sure to do that.
Okay. Thank you. Realistically, if we had to try and go through this document and align it, that's another month's work. So, but and I don't see the added value. Okay. Maybe someone will submit it as a minority report. It's quite possible. So are we done with this document, or Claudio, did you have more?
No, those are all of mine, Michael. I don't know if we should go and discuss Chuck's or Rafik's comments because they're not on the call, or how you would want to handle that. But I think we started discussing Chuck's last week, and I think there was some left that we didn't get to.
Actually, I think we covered all of, this is Julie, I think we covered all of Chuck's comments in this document last week. But Chuck and Rafik have sent comments to the Task 2 document, which I think, is remaining to be discussed today.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. I thought we...
Yeah, I think we're up to par on this document now with your comments. So that's why I was suggesting that if we're done processing everyone's comments and we put out this next version, it might be a little bold, Julie, but I'd like to table it for next week as the action item to try and put, if we ask people to put a final approval on it in next week's meeting as an action item, it may not get done next week, but at least people are now moving towards that goal.
Right, and Michael, this is Julie. Could I suggest that we also request a final approval, and if there are any, for people to submit their minority reports?
Perfect. And what's a reasonable? Is everyone okay? I'd like to suggest a timeline for minority report submission, because when we've had these before, people have been late on them, and they've dragged on a bit. So I'd like to suggest, if we make a call out for any minority reports today or even Monday, Julie, that we give people, is 2 weeks reasonable, or is that too short of a time? What does everyone think?
I think that's good.
Okay. Let's say we'd like them in 2 weeks, please. Julie, if that's okay.
Michael, I've noted that, and I'll be sure to include it.
I'm just trying to roll everyone along. I know we've some of this stuff is very difficult to wade through, but it's from a project manager's mentality, which is what I'm taking right at the moment. We're just trying to keep the momentum going and keep the progress rolling forward, as well as deal with all the issues. So, if no one else has anything further on this document for now, we'll move on to the next agenda item. Is there, would someone like to step forward and give an update from the sub-team on Task 2? Anyone do that? Does anyone have, was there any work done by the sub-team in the last week?
Michael, this is Julia. I think, you know, the document was out for comment, and Chuck and Rafiq gave comments. Is Deborah on the call?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was speaking and I was on mute. I apologize. This is Debbie. So I haven't received any other additional comments, Julie, other than the two that I saw, you know, that were circulated by Chuck and Rafiq. And just wanted to first find out if there were any just general thoughts about the framework and the approach that I was proposing for this task before we start to really drill down.
Debbie, should we go through and start to try and process Rafiq and Chuck's comments?
Sure. So what's the protocol? Do you usually just go step by step? Or?
Yeah, I think if everyone gets the document up, Julie, if you could walk us through them, that would be helpful.
Sure. This is Julie. I'd be happy to do that. So the document I have is one that includes Olga's comments, Chuck's, and Rafiq's, starting at the beginning.
And sorry, Julie, sorry to interrupt, but which day did you send that version? Because I've got a few here with different comments.
Actually, Rafiq sent his on, let me just see here. Been quite recently, I think. Was
there's one on Sunday? Is that the?
It is. Yes. It was on Sunday, the 25th. And
okay.
He's added his comments to the document that had Chuck's and Olga's. So that is the most recent version.
All right. So if everyone can go to that one, I received it in my time zone at 1:30 a.m. in the morning on Sunday. That BDT, so if everyone could open that one, we'll go through it.
And Michael, this is Julie. I'll try to be pretty clear as well in walking through it. The first is just a general comment from Chuck that he's attached to the title of the document. And he says that this is an excellent foundation for starting the work on this task. And in actuality, the comments are in different colors, so I'm not entirely sure. They're not labeled as whose are whose, but I'll just run through them. Deliverables to accomplish, and the statement is reach all current members of the ICANN community and potential members, particularly non-English speakers. At the term reach, the comment is the purpose of the outreach should be made clear, as you stated in the bullets below.
And Julie, this is Debbie. I can say because I was the document creator, the comments are showing us who made them. So I can provide you some help with that. So the first two comments in that section are from Chuck, and then the final one in that brownish color, that's Rafiq.
Okay, very good.
Sure.
So, so Chuck is, I think, maybe asking for perhaps a bit more detail here. And then his second comment is, I understand the focus on reaching out to potential members, but not current members, unless the focus on current members relates to inactive members. There should not be much need to reach out to currently active members. Maybe it is because I do not understand why current members would be contacted. And that is a comment around the words current members. And then the third comment is, as Debbie notes from Rafiq, which is around the words non-English speakers, he says, I think that the outreach is not limited to language issue, but more geographical diversity too, and especially developing regions like Africa.
So, Julie, this is Debbie. Can I make a couple comments?
And please take the floor. I'm simply assisting.
No. So that sentence or that bullet, I pulled it directly from task two.
just to kind of give everybody a background on where that came from, I went to the task two definition, and that's what it said. So that's not Debbie's creation. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay, so I guess maybe I don't know why current members are included, but that's why it's in there. And so I guess the question becomes, do we have to address that or not? Or I'm new to this. I'm trying to understand. And, Debbie, this is Julie. I might suggest that perhaps what we can do, because I think this is a similar issue to the one we just discussed in Task 1, is that we can provide a little bit of background that, you know, this is a and I'm happy to assist you with this. I'd be happy to provide this this text that, you know, a little background that this is a recommendation from the BGC Working Group, and the recommendation reads, and we might even, you know, I could pull it out as a quote, so it's clear, you know, where it comes from, and then that's the way the recommendation was worded, and we can footnote it accordingly. And I think that as a work team, we do have some leeway on how we sorry, I'm getting another call. I'm just going to ignore it. Sorry about that. You know, and how we, you know, address this particular recommendation, and we may want to add, you know, some more clarification or terms or something like that.
This is Claudio. I was going to suggest maybe, like, if we want to amend this language, we could say reach all relevant members of the public. I think what's a little confusing to me is when you sort of qualify to fall in the as being part of the ICANN community or not. I'm not sure how that's defined, and maybe that's what's maybe what's making it a little confusing with current members and potential members. So I don't know. That's just a suggestion.
Someone having an issue with that suggestion?
This is Debbie. I think that sounds good, and I think I can work to try to define, as Claudio mentions, what the relevant public means, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think particularly in Task 2, let's face it, Task 2 is a more has more vague objectives as compared to Task 1 in general, so we're going to have to keep providing context around how we decide to shape the responses.
Okay.
So this is Julie. Shall I continue?
Please.
All right. The next set of comments, and I think these actually, well, changes are in blue. Well, they are in my copy, but they're further down in the bullets that appear under the section strategies for outreach to current members, and at the bottom there. And I think these additions. Not sure. Debbie, does it indicate who made these additions?
No, and I'm trying to figure out how to.
I think they're actually from Olga, because I think, if I remember correctly,
there you go.
Email from last week said that they were for changes.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Okay. So anyway, the additional two bullets are contact at-large structures already part of the RALOs, regional at-large structures that are part of the ALAC at-large advisory committee, she means. Contact members of the fellowship community. Fellowship program exists since the ICANN meeting in San Juan, Puerto Rico, June 2007. And then continuing down, under Section 2, strategies for outreach to potential members, Olga has added a bullet at the bottom, identify universities which focus of study and investigation is related with DNS/internet governance. And then there's another addition
which I think may be from Chuck.
Yeah, that is Chuck.
Great. To ask for assistance from stakeholder groups, constituencies, other supporting organizations, and advisory committees.
So I should have put it in the document this week, but I've been thinking about an idea of bullet that would apply to both, well, all of these areas, actually. How far are we supposed to go with these strategies? Are we supposed to actually suggest fundamental mechanisms or specific ways to do this, or are we supposed to just recommend general strategies? Does anyone have a sense of that? I have an actual specific idea.
I'm not sure. I don't have a sense of that, Michael.
I would love somebody to give me some direction because I have no clue.
Yeah, I feel like this one was really kind of vague. Well, Julie, first of all, I mean, if I guess we could go back to the OSC and ask for some clarification and some direction about how far we're supposed to take this one. So could we formally ask for some guidance from the OSC on that?
This is Julie. I think also what we could do first, and I'd be happy to do this, would be to, I think there was a fair amount written about this in the BGC work groups report, and maybe I could try to parse out some details there. And if that's not sufficient to guide us, and it certainly may not be, because I think you're right, I think this one is probably the least defined of the various recommendations, then I think we could certainly ask the OSC. And in fact, actually, I think that Chuck probably would be able to give us a sense there as well.
I'll throw out the idea I was having anyways. I'm not sure we're supposed to go to this level of detail, but I'll throw out the idea, and if we are, then we can consider incorporating it, Debbie. But my thinking was, let me give you a little bit about my background. Some of you are aware of, you know, how I've been involved with ICANN and the Internet in general, and some of you know very little about me. So I actually started in on this business back in 2000, 2001, when things were re-regulating and we were starting with new TLDs at the beginning. And I was involved with .info from its initiation. So I was working very heavily in various ICANN-related activities, really from kind of a combination of operational policy side implementation issues, and helped a lot of early players around ICANN make things actually functionally work. So about 2 or 3 years ago, I changed my role at Affiliates quite a bit, and part of that was getting more actively involved in these groups. I'd been a background player helping out, but then I became a visible player, and I had to learn ICANN, really the ins and outs and what the real structure meant. And I found that very difficult to do. The only reason I think I was successful was there were a number of experienced, established people that I knew already through my previous dealings who really did understand the ICANN space environment and all the different groups and how they interact with each other, who were very kind and mentored me and taught me the ropes a little bit and helped me find my way around. Now, if we want to get new people into ICANN activities, working groups, environments in general, I think it would be extremely helpful as an outreach tool if we built a guide to ICANN booklet. And I mean something that is, you know, more than just a few web pages that frankly don't do a very good job of explaining how things really work at ICANN. You know, what we have available to us now is a bunch of documents and guides that different groups have put up. They're not necessarily consistent with each other, and there's no solitary, really, you know, I'm a newcomer orientation guide to ICANN. So I think an orientation guide that was updated annually would be a really, really useful tool and make it a lot less intimidating for people to participate. I also think some type of maybe quarterly publication, electronic publication that basically, you know, I hate to use the word newsletter because newsletter always seems to kind of die on the vine, wither on the vine, but maybe some type of quarterly publication that gives a synopsis of, you know, what's hot at ICANN, what's going on, what meetings have happened, what meetings are coming up, what's being debated, what's being discussed, and something that obviously needs to be neutral on all positions, but, you know, just basically a reporting document so that people that are trying to track the very many, very, very many these days meetings and sessions and, you know, there's all kinds of very short notice meetings being correlated around hot topics these days. You know, vertical integration is a good example of that, and all various concerns and items around the new TLD process. There's been many, many meetings called amongst different community players and ICANN participants with very short notice over the last couple of years. So it would be really good to have that information streaming someplace. So instead of having to follow, I don't know, 7 or 8 mailing lists, you know, or more in some cases to get a sense of what's going on, and reading minutes from many different meetings, at least you have a sense of what's happening in what space and what people are discussing and where decision-making is happening. So it's kind of my 2 cents of my idea. But, you know, a getting started guide or an orientation guide and then a regular electronic publication that gives ongoing information about what's happening and what meetings are going on and where decisions are being made.
Actually, Michael, if I might comment on that, the second item, there are a couple of tools out there, and perhaps they're not very well publicized. There is a policy update publication that summarizes all of the policy work that comes out monthly, both as a hard copy item as well as on a online, and then there's a master calendar on the GNSO improvements page that tracks all the calls that are scheduled relating to GNSO and when they are, and then that's where transcripts and MP3s are posted as soon as they're available.
You know what, I understand that, Julie. I'm aware of those tools, and I think they're very, very good if you know your way around ICANN, because you understand the context of what you're looking at, you know what those groups are, you know what you're looking for when you look for a transcript for a particular meeting, and you have a sense of, you know, what meetings, what decisions might be made at what types of meetings. For a newcomer, you know, it's a mass of information, and you're not sure, you know, which meeting is meaningful. There's not enough information for those people that aren't familiar with the environment to really understand the implications of, you know, what this group does or what that meeting means and so forth. The calendar is useful for it's an expert's tool, let's put it that way. If you're an expert at ICANN, those are great tools and they do the job beautifully. If you know nothing about ICANN and you're trying to figure your way around, you need a dummy's guide to what's going on, basically, that breaks it down into, you know, there's a meeting on this day. These are the kind of things that are talked about at this meeting. This is the kind of impact decisions made at this level or this group have. If a decision's made here, it will go up to this to the GNSO and have to be approved there as well, or ultimately to the board. But, you know, put context around the importance of different work that's going on as if you're ignorant, which, you know, if we want to get new people in here, they are ignorant. There's no reason they'd understand that context, right?
Right, and Michael, and I totally agree with you, but I'm thinking that you're making me think that maybe we should have someone from the policy side speak to us to sort of hear these thoughts And that is Scott Pinzon. He is our Director of Communications for Policy, and his task is to try to get this information out in a way that is useful to newcomers, to people who know absolutely nothing. And his job with the policy update was to recraft that document to make it clear and easy to understand for newcomers. So I think that he might have some suggestions of practical ways for, you know, practical recommendations for us to build into the outreach recommendations. And plus, I think he would be very interested in hearing your comments, Michael, on ways to improve what we already have out there. And maybe some of those improvements would be written into our recommendations as well.
Well, I think that sounds like a great idea. Debbie, everyone, what do you think about having him come in and talk to us on the subjects? Because there might be some really good ideas there for us.
I think that is excellent. And I'm sitting here writing this, and I'm just smiling. I mean, I think I know a little bit about, or thought I knew a little bit about ICANN when I joined the GNSO, and I was completely overwhelmed at my first ICANN public meeting and at the exchange of emails and everything. And I think for people for whom we are trying to reach out who are new to ICANN, having some sort of guide to navigate, not just when you're at a public meeting, but navigating the infrastructure, I think would be fabulous. And we've got tons of resources, I believe, on the ICANN website, but it's hard to find those things. And if you're new, maybe there's a button that's just like new to ICANN. You click there and you get those sources. And then certainly also some sort of, you know, lighter form of a e-communication or quarterly, you know, newsletter, like what's hot, what's going on, kind of tailored and a language for newcomers. And that if you're more experienced, like you said, Julie, you know, you've got the more detailed policy updates, you can drill down, but kind of like from a news, informational news, lighter format, I think that's great. I would love if Scott could come and talk to us and we could, you know, get his thoughts on what he's already planning or what he has in the works and figure out how that would all work into what we're trying to do here.
Fantastic. Listen, everyone, we're at 10 o'clock. It sounds like that's a great next step. Plus, you know, I'll probably throw the ideas that I just stated. I might as well add them to your document, Debbie, just to get them down on paper for now. Or, you know, maybe I'll just put them out to the list and you can incorporate them in a later document. I don't know if the framework documents, you know, the right document for those to go in. We're not going to get through the entire agenda here, but I don't know that we're really completely done with the comments either yet. So can we pick up next week where we left off?
Yep.
Okay.
That
so
great,
sorry, Julie?
Yeah, I said that sounds great.
Okay.
And
so,
I'll shall I go ahead and see if Scott can join us for next Friday?
I think that would be great.
That would be wonderful.
Okay, I'll check and see if that will work for him. It's a little early for him. He's in Seattle, but maybe he won't mind.
Maybe we can get him to come in at, you know, 9:30 EDT, so that's a little later for him.
In a little
right.
bit. Right. Okay,
like
listen,
hour,
no. I have to run to another call, too, but I've got my tasks, and I'll summarize them and get that out today.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.